Welcome to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. I'm Cheryl, and I invite you to join me on my quest to find out, why are people homeschooling? How do you do it? How does it differ from region to region? And should I homeschool my kids? Stick with me as I interview homeschooling families across the country to unfold the answers to each of these questions week by week. Welcome, and with us this week, we have Alicia from Colorado, also known as Babe, by her children. That is the cutest thing I've ever heard. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So where did the nickname Babe come from?
Well, okay, so my two oldest sons, they're my stepsons, and when my husband and I were dating, the younger of the two was learning to talk, and he just picked up on it and just called me Babe. And everybody does now, my nieces, my neighbors, my in-laws, it's pretty funny. It's just my name now.
That's adorable. Yeah. My niece and nephews for the longest time called me Fufu growing up. Aww. Which now just kind of sounds like a stripper name. I would have preferred a little something else, but it would vary. It'd be like Foof. Or, hey, foo. Yeah. So, it is cute, though.
So, cute.
You're in Colorado, right?
Yes. Yeah. Born and raised.
Okay. Must be much better there than in New York, but I do put New York down a lot. New York's beautiful. It's just the government here is terrible.
Well, I don't think we're far behind you guys, so.
Really?
Yeah.
That's sad to hear.
It is.
And also kind of surprising, but I guess you do have more of like a touristy or... Like, why do you think that is?
Well, you know, like every state, Californians moved and ruined it. But I'm just kidding. My husband's from California. So overall, though, it is fairly liberal. And it's really interesting because it's almost like every state, right? The urban areas are where you have the way liberal. And then it's like everywhere else in the state is very conservative. So it's a very interesting mix, to say the least. But
and it's definitely like that in New York. I mean, there's a lot of farm country in New York. You wouldn't think it probably if you're from the other parts of the country or world. You just think New York City. But most of New York is like farmland. And I mean, where I am, I saw very few like the Democrat signs around the election. But then, you know, Hochul got in, supposedly. I mean, I personally don't think she legitimately got in, yeah. Especially because now I just saw on my email this morning, she's taking, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but she's taking $83 million or billion and probably million and sending it to rebuild the Buffalo football stadium, right. Buffalo Bills football stadium. But she's taking that money and then somehow like Office of Children and Family Services is getting cut $83 million in funding. Like, isn't that a coincidence? Yeah. And then her husband also he works for the Bills Stadium as like the coordinates the beer and liquor sales. So it's like, well, isn't that convenient? But that's just how Cuomo ran it too. And you know what? I'm sure there are Republicans that run it the same way. It is politicians in general.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's just crazy. But I think, yes, if you took New York City out of New York, this would be a very conservative state.
Yeah.
It's just interesting how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been homeschooling for like many years, right? And your kids have done a variation of things.
Between
public school, charter school, and homeschool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, all of it. So the only one we haven't done is private school, but I had to write down a chart because it's like, after I was like, okay, I'm going on this podcast, but I can't remember exactly like where the kids landed in the order as we were going through it all. Cause it was all very like the circumstances is what brought us to different stages. But yeah, so we have homeschooled off and on for the last 12 years. So I don't know. I hear people on podcasts and I'm like, oh my gosh, 12 years. Like they must have it all figured out. But I don't. We're on phase three of our homeschooling journey. I broke it down into phases to try and make it easier to understand.
I'm happy you said that because as I unfold this podcast and think of like the vision for it, I feel like a common theme I've tried to bring back is that like it doesn't have to be this perfect thing, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to be the perfect family. Like you know, of course we can all strive to like never have a screen time and to read, you know, 20 minutes a day or, you know, an hour a day and to have this many books, you know, read by the end of the year and that sort of thing. And that is like so wonderful, but it's also a lot of pressure. And the reason, you know, that we're kind of pulling them out of the public school is to relook at what life is about, whether you're doing it for this reason, that reason, that reason, or that reason. It's all to reevaluate what your values are in life. And like, it's got to be to take a step back and just relax. And if we didn't get 20 minutes of reading in, that's okay. And if we don't have it all figured out, that's okay too. Like, we're not going to break them.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy you said that. Yeah. So go on, tell me about your experience.
Well,
like phase one.
Yeah. We'll start with phase one. That was, so it was, we had the two stepsons, and then they did go back and forth every week. So that was just kind of a part of the equation. And we then had our first together. And when he was about 2, 3-ish, the youngest of the two kids was starting kindergarten. And so I was there for his first day with his mom, and he just started tearing up, and I was like, oh no, it's, you know, it's fine. And then he just cried, and then, you know, we hugged and moved on. Right. And like every parent, we just assumed it'll just take time and then they'll adjust and they'll love it. It'll be life. Right. And, but as the, and this was in the maybe first 2 months or so of the school year, he started having accidents throughout the day at school. And we were like, what is going on? Because he's never had problems with that before. And I was like, all right, I'll go in for lunch one time. And I went in for the older class because kindergarten just didn't line up. And I went in, and his older brother was, I think he was in second grade at that time. And it was just terrible. I was sitting there with him, and then the principal shut the lights off in the lunchroom and just stood up there and yelled at everybody for a solid 5 minutes. And she was like, okay, pick the trash up off the ground, like just yelling, like, you guys are terrible. Like, I was like, oh, what is this? What is happening? This is your daily experience at school. So not really opened her eyes. So we just discussed it and decided this isn't worth it. Whatever education we think they're getting or not getting, this just is not worth it. So we pulled them, and I just got online and just Googled homeschool at home, public school at home. And I found a program it was all online, and it was legitimately public school at home. So it had your schedule laid out. They had a licensed teacher that you could talk to if you needed help. And they sent you everything. They sent you every book you needed to read, every curriculum book, anything that you needed. And we just went for it. We pulled both of them, and we did it for a solid 2 years, or a year and a few months. And their mom came and helped on her days off, and because it was two different grade levels all at once. So I couldn't divide myself, and I had our son, and then I was also watching my niece. So we had two little ones running around while we were trying to do school, and then her daughter, who was the same age as our son. So it was just like a daycare and homeschool at the same time. It was definitely worth it, but we both knew at the end it wasn't sustainable doing it that way. So then we had moved to a better school district, and like so many people say, you know, you're in a good school district, so, you know, different, it'll be a totally different experience. And it was good, it was fine. And then the oldest, when he started entering eighth grade, he was like, I want to homeschool again. And so the homeschool door opened back up. He realized that he was way more focused on the social aspect of friends, and it was starting to go down a path that he's like, I don't want to participate in that. And he's just really started questioning, like, why am I even here? I feel like I could do this on my own and be done halfway through the day and really pursue some interests. So that opened
Yeah.
phase two.
I have a couple questions. So, for people who are listening who are part of a blended family, how did that conversation go and the relationship go with your stepson's mother? And, we feel that we should be pulling them out. Was she always on board, or did you get any of the push-pull or jealousy even that you would be the primary educator for the kids?
Yeah, I would say there is a little bit of everything in it. She's always wanted what's best for them, right? Like any mother. But we definitely view life a lot differently. And so she was basically, and we're very fortunate that she would state her opinion, but then would just leave the choice up to my husband. So the way that the time was divided up, it revolved around her work schedule. And since I was home, she had them 2 to 3 days, and we had them the rest of the days. So it kind of like lent to we have them during the week. So we kind of make the education decisions. Ultimately, it was my husband's decision, and we just kind of followed suit. And as far as jealousy, I would say, I think there's always a little bit of jealousy. You know, you both love the kids and
Right,
you
yeah.
both want to be, yeah, you want to be an influence. So it's kind of hard to let it go. But in the end, it's like when you really think about it, public school is basically co-parenting anyways. So we were figuring it out. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and I'm thinking of this not in a light to make her look bad. I'm thinking of myself as the biological mother saying like, okay, I'm going to let my ex-husband's new wife now be like the primary educator for my children. That I mean, I would be like, okay, well, I'm missing out on the little things like, oh, she taught them to read. They're making these bonding moments that I'm not a part of. So like jealousy in a way that makes sense. I mean, it doesn't make you a bad person for feeling that way. I would feel that way. And hopefully I wouldn't put up a stink about it, but yeah, I can imagine that that would be hard on both of you to, you're and then you have this role of like, where does the discipline begin and end as like the stepmom? That must have been hard to kind of, go through. Like yesterday, and it was kind of funny when you were saying about the principal yelling because, I yelled at my son yesterday because I lost my cool and, said a swear word, and I was like, I am going to sign you up for school in September. And, I texted my friend who is kind of on the same page as me, like, should I homeschool this year? I really want to. I don't know if we can do it. And I'm like, all right, I just lost it on him. I go, but you know what? It's better that he get yelled at by me and then I can kind of like apologize to him later and say why mommy lost her cool. But I said to my friend, imagine a stranger that has literally no attachment to him at all, with 29 other kids in a classroom. I mean, teachers have to lose it every now and then, right? And so, like, what damage does that do when they lose their cool on them?
They end up losing respect for those teachers, whereas with mom, they will never not love you, and they will never not want to have that relationship with you. So it is a totally different dynamic for sure.
Now, you're oldest said that he wanted to go back to homeschooling. I mean, how did you feel?
And we're a Christian family, so it's like, okay, it all kind of works out in the end. Like God will move things one way or the other, depending on which way we need to go. And at that time, some church friends were like, there's this program that you meet once a week. It's state funded. It's through public schools, but it's a homeschool campus. And so they can go once a week and get their teachings And then they just work on the homework throughout the week. So we were, as that conversation was happening, he was telling me that he wanted to homeschool. And so we were like, okay, well, maybe this is the answer on that front. And meanwhile, we had had another son, and then I was also pregnant with my daughter. So it was like, all right, this is happening. Like, we're going to support you. We're going to figure this out, but I can't be your teacher. Like, that pregnancy, I couldn't drink any caffeine at all without being nauseous. And I just felt nauseous all the time. So I was like, you're kind of on your own. Like, let me know what you need, and I will try and help you. We can YouTube these math problems and figure it out. But like, you're ultimately responsible for how well this goes. And so he took some ownership of it, and it's a struggle. Like, there's always a struggle. And it's just a matter of what struggle you want to take on. Right. So we were like, okay, so video games, we didn't like fully understand the psychological, mental impact that video games had. Yeah, so he was in the afternoons playing a lot of video games. So it was like, all right, now get off that, and what do you actually want to do with your time? So my husband made him, he had to write lists of a business he wanted to start, a hobby he wanted to pursue, and stuff like that. And then he had to just kind of come up with a plan and then just follow through on at least one of them. So that started a different experience on that front.
I like that. That's interesting. And going back to what you were saying before, how in eighth grade, he was like, you know, why am I even here? And there's so many levels of, you know, that you can even take that to when you're like, oh my God, why am I, you know, an existential, like, why are we even here? We're spending our life in a,
right,
you know, is it to spend our majority of our day in four walls? Probably not, you know, and then just, yeah, why am I here? This is my childhood and it's spent at school. What am I here to learn? And, oh, well, you're all here to learn the same thing. And I think for myself, I do remember having those thoughts in middle school, like, what is life about, you know, but nothing at the time or after in school or college or even work really sparks like you to follow through with those thoughts, you know, what are we here for? Are we here to create things? And I definitely, like when you had said he can finish his schoolwork early in the day and have the rest of the day to do what he wants. I mean, I would say in my head, well, how do I know what else I want to do? And that was always a theme, like, especially in my career for the last 15 years, sitting in a cubicle working for the government. Like, what is the point of this? And there's nothing to spark, like, what could you really be doing? Even if it were, like, go out and do a hobby, like, you won the lottery and you can do anything in the world that you want to do. Well, what do most lottery winners do? They end up getting addicted to, like, drugs or alcohol because,
yeah,
you know, they're not, the struggle is almost part of it, right? And I feel that way with school, that there, it doesn't really teach you all the different things that you could be doing with your time. One part of that is for a career, but even just your time, you know. And then you start, like, when I was talking to the Tuttle twins, and he's like, oh, my son composes, he like plays instruments and composes music. I'm like, wow. That never even crossed my mind as a child or an adult to like create music. I mean, maybe with dance, like I'd make up dance routines, and I teach Zumba now. Yeah. So like I'll do a little bit of that, but it's, you know, it's on such a different level, like where we don't, like, you almost need like a course in school to be like, let's get really bored and think of all the things we could do to make life worthwhile.
Well, and
because then we go to video games.
Yeah. And it totally, but to your point, it's a system that, it's not meant to help you as an individual. So it's like, yeah, they should have things that really make a child flourish in life, But they don't, because they have thousands of children that they're trying to just get through the next tiers of what they deem as acceptable for that age. And I've always been like, why? Why do I need to do that? And I drove my mom crazy. But it's like, later on in life, it's like, well, why? Why do they need to know? Why do they need to know that right now?
Okay, have you checked out episode 21 with Lindsay, creator of Treehouse Schoolhouse? I asked Lindsay on the show because I fell in love with her Instagram page. She is like the homeschool family I strive to be. Lindsay was homeschooling even before she had kids, homeschooling as a nanny right out of college. Over the years, she has developed super creative ways to help kids learn that can be fun for the whole family. From products like her morning time and daily rhythm and her nature studies to alphabet cards, her Rooted Family Bible curriculum, which is coming out soon, and a connected Christmas, which is right around the corner, hint, hint. And what is a connected Christmas, you ask? Well, it's an invitation to gather your family and celebrate beauty and delight through festive carols, stories, poetry, art, baking, and handcrafts. It's about family, and it's about connecting hearts to the heart of Christmas. From preschool to middle school, there are variations and activities for all ages to celebrate together. Let them know I sent you by using the link treehouseschoolhouse.com/thehomeschoolhowtopodcast, and you can get 10% off all products. You can use the link and code in my show's description.
And yes, I want them to have this education that proves, in a sense, that homeschool is worth it, that it's not just some 70s hippies dance in the wild experience, and then we hope that they come out. And it comes back to like your worldview. So The question that I've really been coming to as we're entering our next phase and our experience that we had at our charter school is I ask myself, do you believe that your child, each one of them, is fearfully and wonderfully made? Do you believe that they have a unique set of skills, experiences, a way of thinking that is of their own, and do you believe that they have a destiny that they're meant to fulfill in this world? It's like, if that's what I believe, then how can I justify sending them somewhere that slowly and steadily strips their identity away from them? And so it's like, I can't. I just morally can't at this point in our family. I know there's some kids, and I have friends whose kids, they just thrive in that rigorous, structured environment. But there's just that little piece in the back of my mind that it's like, this isn't the only way. This isn't the only way to get where we want to go. And I hear you on trying to reach certain points of like, just get through it and then we can have fun, you know? And it's hard to step back and say, do we need to get through it? Do we actually right now need to get through it? Mm-hmm. Or can we just take a break? What do they need right now? If their bodies are telling you, I have to move, or I'm not going to hear anything you have to say to me right now, and actually, I'm going to push every button you have so that we can be done with this, then it's like, okay, maybe let's be a little proactive and take the break before we are losing it and they're upset with us and we all need timeouts. You know, like let's think ahead a little bit.
Definitely. And I try to do that, but you get to a point where you take so many breaks and then it's you're now on a 10-hour school day because of mm-hmm. what we have to do can be done in 40 minutes, but it's stretched out because of the breaks. Come on, I got to say it again because you're not paying attention. And yeah. And then it's like, yep. Okay, is he at the age where maybe he's not ready to do this stuff? But then he'll ask me questions like, well, mom, how do I turn this, remote control off for my car? And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, well, what sound does O make? What sound does F make? And what do you see anywhere that, you know? So I'm trying to relate it to things in his real life where mm-hmm. he's like, oh, maybe I do need to know what letters are. And I mean, I love the unschooling approach. I just think I'm too like anal and OCD to really embrace that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not like creative enough with it. and too insecure, I guess. But
You know,
I want him also
journey.
To. Yeah, I want him to go to, like, if he plays soccer and they're like, okay, everyone go to the right. And, like, he doesn't know because, oh, mom doesn't teach me anything. I'm homeschooled.
Like, yeah, there goes that homeschooled kid. Yeah. No, I got it. Yeah,
wrong goal.
Oh, man. And I think, and I just think as parents and moms in particular, I think we just beat ourselves up too much. So I think that it's super important not only to understand your kid, but also to understand yourself. Like, if you are going to lose your mind while you're trying to unschool, then that's not serving anybody. And so
right.
I like being aware of what you need too is definitely important. And I flirt with the unschool idea too, but I'm not fully on board either. It sounds wonderful. It just sounds amazing, but I'm not sure how to put it into practice quite yet. But
you know what I mean? And I just kind of like, I think about this from time to time too. All right. So if our kids are in a classroom, there's like 30 kids there. So when the teacher, like, I'm just going to say the phonics part of what I do with them, like the beginning part is a little bit dry because I'm just asking him to like repeat what I'm saying, or like I'm asking him a simple question, like, do those two rhyme? Give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So like that, because it's not like coloring or, you know, with a puppet or anything, maybe that's a little bit more boring for him. But so I guess if I were to think, if he were in a classroom doing this and there's 30 of them, most of the kids, like you'll maybe get two of the kids answering the teacher saying, yes, those rhyme. No, those don't rhyme. And then the other 28 are like staring out the window, picking their nose, laughing at each other. So like right there, you're going to get the majority of them are not answering the teacher. And as I'm sitting there doing this with my son, I expect an answer every single time. And not only do I expect an answer, but we're going to go over it if the answer is wrong on why that's wrong. No, those don't rhyme because the middle and the end sound are not the same. You know, so you, I guess I have to give him a little bit of grace in that, is that if he doesn't feel like answering them that day, maybe I should just, I'll answer myself so that he's hearing it, but he doesn't have to be getting it. Cause if he were in a classroom, chances are he'd be the one picking his nose or staring out the window.
Oh yeah.
Or like have his appointment for ADHD drugs because they want to put him on it.
Oh, and you know, an aha moment was, again, the oldest, he was in, I think, third grade. And he's like, I just hang out until the teacher just gives us the answer. That's like, okay, so you figured the system out. You just wait long enough and they give you the answer. So, and auditory, like hearing, maybe a better learning system for him. Who knows? Like maybe just saying it. And then, you know, what's going to happen is, in who knows, you know, 6 months, he's gonna all of a sudden just say it while he's playing, and you're gonna be like, what? It just happened. I've been asking you to tell me what that was for the last 6 months, and like now while you're playing, you're not even gonna, you know, and then it'll come out. So
nonchalant. Yep.
yeah it's almost just how kids are. But yeah, it sounds, so we're starting this, we're starting a program this year, once again, like an a la carte program, but classical conversations, because we really, really love the classical model. But they do everything through song and sign language. So the end, they memorize. They memorize like things that I sat in on a session and I'm like, what are you even saying? Like they're talking about all these times through history, they do a song from creation until 2001 Twin Towers. And it's like all world history and they sing it and they have hand motions and they may not fully understand exactly what they're talking about, but they learn it over the years as they get older.
Right.
So
what program is this?
Classical Conversations.
Okay.
And it was the, so if we reverse a little bit, a couple of years ago, well, COVID hit, so we decided we were just going to homeschool everybody and not send them to school in prison camps. It like just became so obvious that this is what it is at that point. So we were like, all right, everybody's going to be home. I don't care. They tried virtual and nobody knew what was happening. Kids were like getting up and leaving and then coming back later. It was like craziness. So we decided, okay, just homeschool everybody. And that was, so we put everybody in that program that was publicly funded, that they meet once a week. We chose Fridays and they did have to wear masks there, but it was like, okay, one day a week I can handle versus 5 days a week of breathing your own spit. So then they would come home from that one day and their mask would be like literally chewed through because they were just like sucking on it all day. It's like, this is disgusting. So, yes, I know. Doesn't it get you? And I'm like, so this is okay. But then, like, so they can suck a hole through their mask and breathe through that, but they can't just take the mask off. So, anyways, it became a deal. So, and again, the oldest and a group of his friends got together and they did a protest. They did a mask protest at this homeschool facility, and they went into school and wore no masks and just tried to start their day. And they definitely got kicked out right away and had been escorted out by security and all this stuff. So then us moms just were outside waiting for the inevitable to happen. And then we just took them all to Sonic and got breakfast. So
Love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh,
And
what a good little experiment for them, though, and
it
like to learn
was.
about government and unjust laws.
Yeah, they wrote a statement out of how it was discriminatory that they were not allowed to not wear masks, and they went on the website and used their phrases against them and put a little mission statement, and they did their research and they got kicked out, and then they went back the next week. And we discussed what the pros and the cons and all this stuff, and but it actually formed like this, all these moms, we get together like at least once a year, and then like throughout the school year they do coffee meetings that we go to at the school. But it kind of formed a little program is called Options, and so we're joking, we're daughters of the options revolution. So we just hang out and talk about things. But yeah, so we had homeschooled then, and then I had yet another baby at that time. And she was maybe, I want to say, yeah, she's two. And I was just so overwhelmed. I was like, I can't do this. I'm not getting them through anything productive. I feel like most of the time we're just like, did you at least get math done today? Or did you at least do history? Like, let's just, hopefully we made it through that. And so we were praying about it, and I heard of this charter school that didn't mask the kids throughout the whole COVID time, and they did like logical things like put extra filters in the classroom and sanitize the classroom after they left and did as many classes as they could outside and stuff like that. And so they really aligned with where we were at, and so we thought like, let's just go for it. And so we did charter school for the last 2 years, and it was an interesting experience. But I was in charter school for my education as a kid. So we just thought for sure it was going to be where we would be doing school and raising our kids, like in the school forever. And but this last year, it was a pretty difficult year, like with the older kids, and then the two younger, my daughter, she started kindergarten, and then the other was in first and then second grade. And another aha moment was when my second grader said, I can just sit and do nothing and I don't get in trouble. And I was like, what? So this is what. So it must be a second grade thing. Second, third grade, they start realizing what's
Uh-oh.
truly being required of them as opposed to what we think we are. But yeah, so then my the oldest, he's entered into high school, the oldest at the school, second oldest in the lineup. He had a pretty tough year. And then my fourth grader, he has ADHD. He's just like undiagnosed. We've never gotten him officially diagnosed, but he had just a very difficult year last year. And it was like, okay, I'm done. I'm like, there's no, it became apparent, even though you're at a charter school, which is supposed to be not so much, they rely heavily on parent involvement and parent input. Even though that's the case, it's still part of the same system. So you are getting similar results. You may have a much better education overall, as far as like it's a classical model, and therefore they were reading just classical novels. Like the ninth grader, it was reading Beowulf and all the Homer series stuff, and learning philosophy and stuff like that. So it was, on that front, a great education, but it really came down to at what cost are we giving them a wonderful education? He had a pretty difficult, the fourth grader had a pretty difficult year, or fifth grader, I guess. He entered at fourth grade. He was fifth grade last year. Had, yeah, just a hard time. He wasn't going to fit in and he needed to move around, and he really kind of embodied this bad boy persona because he realized he wouldn't be able to meet their expectations and just kind of went with it. So it became a deal.
So then, did you bring them all back home?
Yeah, this year we're going to be doing everybody at home again. The charter school scenario came down to we don't have them officially diagnosed, and so we don't have the 504, and we don't have the like laid out plan that they're legally required to follow. And so it was just a lot of back and forth. And in the past, we in public school and last year at the charter school, we would just have to openly communicate with the teacher in the beginning and say, he has to move. If he's not moving, he's not listening, and he will just be disruptive. So either we get him to move in a controlled environment, or he's gonna entertain himself, and it's not gonna be cohesive to a classroom setting. And so we had open communication with his homeroom teacher. He had three different teachers, so they divided up subjects, and two out of the three just had a really hard time with him, and almost took it personal when he wasn't behaving well. And then it just led to meetings and confrontations, and they were coming from a place like, you either need to get them diagnosed and submit this form, or you can leave. Like, this is just how it is. Like, this is probably not going to be the best spot for him. And we were coming from a place of, this is just basic ADHD knowledge. Like, why are we even having to ask you to do these things? Like, I have a friend who's a principal, and she was like, oh no, yeah, that would just be typical. Like, you just have them go run errands for you, or you have specific tasks for them. You give them a space in the back of the classroom, or you let them take a break in the hallway. And And so we were just totally missing each other. And he was the one who was paying for it because he really was very hard on himself. He was praying to be better every night before bed and just really tore down his self-esteem. And it was just heartbreaking. And so I got to a point where it was like, you know what? I don't want to ever be in a position where someone else is telling me what is allowed for my son. Like, what is, you're supposed to
Who,
value the parent
right.
input.
Why does this education system step in the middle of the parenting? So, what do you do with him when you're homeschooling at home to get him to sort of pay attention? Like, what sort of things do you have him doing with his hands or feet?
So we got he has like little fidget things that he messes with, and what's been successful at home for us is here's like giving him a task, and he doesn't really like being like told what to do. Like, he wants the freedom to be able to figure it out himself. So if we had made a schedule in the past. We made a schedule, and it's like a 15-minute task, and then he could take a 5-minute break. And we had the schedule out, and then he had a clock so he could know exactly when, and he was managing his own time. So, which is one of the weaknesses of ADHD is time management. So but having that sense of control was good for him.
Are you concerned that your kids are not being taught everything they need to know about the U.S. Constitution and how government works in our everyday lives? The Tuttle Twins have made it their mission to create books and curriculum materials that teach kids the benefits of a free society with ideas that support strong family values. The concepts that kids and adults learn in the Tuttle Twins books on their level are invaluable and not taught anywhere else. I asked the Tuttle Twins to partner with me to give my listeners 40% off the book series for ages 5 through 11 because I believe the values taught in these books are incredibly important. My son loves reading these books together, and even though he's young, we're able to discuss the topics in the books on his level quite easily. My favorite book so far has been The Miraculous Pencil, discussing all the moving parts that go into one tiny product. But Education Vacation is also a favorite of mine, which discusses John Taylor Gatto and his concepts on how children learn best. Spoiler alert, it's not in the public school system. Use my link, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle, with coupon code Cheryl40 to get 40% off the book series for ages 5 through 11, plus printable workbooks and activities to go along with each book. Let them know I sent you by heading to my link. Again, thehomeschoolhowto.com/Tuttle and get 40% off the age 5 through 11 book series with code Cheryl40, Cheryl 40. You can get the link and the code in the show's description.
And he's, his worst critic. So he'll be like, no, I'll just push through. I'll just push through. And I was like, no, just take a break. Like, just listen to your body. You need a break. Go take a break. Come back. It's fine. As long as you pick it back up. If you set it down and never go back to it, that's an issue. But if you can come back to it, that's good. And so that's been helpful. And also having a reward, which was my biggest issue with the charter school last year, is they didn't have any reward system for them. Like, it was basically your reward was not getting in trouble. So, when I was like, what if, we flirted with like a coin system or a point system, which always just gets too overly complicated. And I think I have a little bit of ADHD, and my husband does for sure. So that's just not going to work for any of us. We're all going to forget what we're doing. So I'm like, all right, the reward for him is you get either a small amount of time of like approved video game time, which we're weirdos and we just basically don't do video games. and or social media, but for the kids. And so it's a real special treat if he gets any video game time, which is like, anyways, we have a list of ones that we're okay with video games. But
so is that every day? If you're like, if you get through your curriculum today, you can do a little bit of video games tonight?
It's always kind of hit or miss. I don't know what it is with video games, but it's almost like it takes over their brains and they forget how to be like decent human beings.
Well, so I was just listening to a podcast before signing in to do this one. And what the guest on that said was from a young age, when you start with the social media, and I guess that could be true for video games too, you are training your brain to get that quick dopamine hit. And if you think about it with a video game, like, you know, I played like Mario back in the day. That's the extent of I know of video games. But like when Mario would like jump onto the tunnel and, you know, get a mushroom or whatever, you do get this quick dopamine hit, which is the same as like, oh, I signed into Facebook and here my notifications, I have likes on a post or comments. So that made a lot of sense for me, because I've been going back and forth on, well, why can't he have screen time? I don't want him to be like, you know, in the dark ages when we unleash him unto the world and, you know, he's like, what's a video game? What's a TV? You know, so we let him watch stuff. But last night he called me in after we put him to bed and he was like, I just had a dream and I'm scared because of a skeleton. And I'm like, well, you must have seen that on something. What were you watching? And it was something that he had put up on Netflix, even though it's a kid's account, you know, something scary. And okay, so that's one little thing. But also, yeah, the dopamine hits, you're training them early on to get the, so that's a totally, there's like multiple aspects to why you would not want kids to have screen time. And I'm like getting more of it now that there are, you know, things they're exposed to, but also what it trains the brain to do. It's super interesting.
It is fascinating, and we have taken like almost a year off of video games altogether, and we don't let them on like YouTube and stuff like that. But what the switch was for us was a podcast I listened to. She was like, you can take a brain scan of someone who is always playing video games and a drug addict, and it's the same. They are literally almost identical.
Probably that dopamine hit, needing a dopamine hit.
Yes, 100%. So they're like, they cannot get enough of it. And it's designed that way.
So in the book Free to Learn, the author talks about that video games didn't show, I don't know the specifics, but he almost made it sound like they weren't that bad. And I was like, I'd really like to talk to somebody about that, because I don't know if I'm misunderstanding what he's saying. But again, these studies can be manipulated as well. It depends on what you're looking for. But totally. I believe that with the, when you think of the dopamine hit from a crack addict, did you say?
To a video any game. Drug addict.
Someone who plays video games. Yeah, maybe they're just always, and then you're almost getting like stressed out when you're not getting the dopamine hit from the video game or the social media.
Yeah, you think about, my husband and I used to serve in this addiction group, and you think about an addict, when they're addicted to something, they do anything they can to protect it. So if you as a mom or a parent are just looking at your kids and you are like, no, we're not going to play video games, and they start throwing themselves on the floor and start crying and getting upset by it, like, let's just think for a second, like, is this really what we want them to be having these emotions over? Is something that's not even real? And what, so they're doing exactly what an addict does, and you don't get what you want right away, so you throw a fit, which is kids are prone to anyways. But it really just is like, once you know, you know. And it's like, you can't unsee what you see. You can't unsee the fact that so then we were the same the oldest was a learning experience, right? As most oldest kids are. But we wouldn't let him have social media at all. And it was a fight. And then now that he's 18 and he's out of the house and he's on social media by his own choice, he's like, he sees through the matrix almost. Like, you're just giving their brains the time to develop so that when that does come into their minds, they are able to comprehend it at a more advanced level than if you let them have it as a 5-year-old or a 13-year-old. Or you listen to the people who created this stuff and they're saying, just delay, delay as long as you can. Like, don't let them have it. So again, you can't unsee what you've seen, you know?
Yeah. What are some of the video games that you do approve of for your son?
So they're basically like phone games. Like, there's a one, I think it's called like Stickbot or something. And they're just floppy stick figures that they have to knock off of pedestals. And they just laugh the whole time playing it. And then at about 30 minutes or so, they're like, okay, we're done. Like, this, we're bored now, and like, move on. Minecraft, I'm back and forth on Minecraft. I don't think that there's, and again, the only reason I'm back and forth on it is because of the reaction I get when it's time to shut it off. So it's like, okay, maybe that's not the greatest option if it's too hard to let it go. Mm. And they were playing Fortnite for a while, and I'm over it. So we were done with Fortnite. But that was about the time we were figuring out how much damage it can do.
Yeah.
And we're like, you can make those decisions as an adult when you have an adultly formed brain, not when you're younger. And you can hate me for it too. That's okay. I'm fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Just being okay with your child being upset with a decision you've made for them. That's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to be their friends. Yes. We have to be their protectors and their guides in life.
Mm-hmm. And we're always like, yeah, give us a valid argument. If you feel like this is something you want, give us a valid argument and we'll think about it.
Okay. But, and then that makes their brain get going into kind of like a little jury setting. Yeah. So that makes sense. My son, he has this Jeep game on his iPad that he likes to play, but I've, you know, purchased the ABC mouse and I purchased the Teacher Monster to read, and he still wants to play that Jeep game. So I'm thinking now, mm-hmm. thinking about that podcast, the Jeep game must have more of the dopamine hits, whereas the yeah. ones that are geared towards learning don't, maybe. And I mean, unless mm-hmm. I'm doing ABC mouse incorrectly, it is, I'm not impressed with it.
Yeah. Reading Eggs is a good one. Okay. That's fun for them. I didn't like ABC mouse either. I don't know, it felt dated or something.
It's playing but the same videos over and over in the same little games. I'm like, don't you have mm-hmm. more? I mean, I got a year subscription. Like, what
yeah.
the heck?
Yeah. Yeah, Reading Eggs is fun. They have levels, and then they have a treehouse that they can decorate and do. And there's games they can play that are like educational games okay. on their level. But as far as like the other game, the other thing too is, I don't know if your son is more along like the lines of ADHD brain or not, but if he is, the amount of screen changes matters too. So if it changes screen very quickly, they love that. They love that input.
Interesting. And
it makes their ADHD brain worse though. So they love it. They can do it for hours, but instead of normalizing their brain, it feeds that need to constantly have entertainment and switch all the time. So it's pretty interesting.
So when you think about like Instagram where you're just scrolling, or I assume, well, Facebook too, or mm-hmm. TikTok. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I was banned from TikTok a long time ago, but if it's still the same as it was 3 years ago, I mean, that's just constant quick video. So, wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, that if you weren't ADHD, you are after watching that for a couple of months straight.
You totally are. You're training yourself to be that. And that's why we have such a huge increase in anxiety and depression and just labels of what you are. There's a whole, I just heard another podcast about that it's almost training people to have disorders, and they start identifying with this disorder that they think that they have. And then it's like all of a sudden they start showing symptoms and signs and everything, because that's what's inputting them into their brain all the time. And actually this psychologist's answer for them, he has like a camp that you can go to if you feel like you have a disorder. And one of the rules is no phones. So then he says, if by the end of the camp, you're still showing signs, then you know it's real, at least more real than if it goes away and you need to just get off your phone. So we have to have camps these days to help us.
And I guess I never thought about that before, but like ADHD, I guess in my mind, or even ADD, you think of as just something you're born with. But I guess mm-hmm. that is definitely, I mean, an alcoholic isn't born with alcoholism. You train your body to need that over time. Same thing with being, you're not born a smoker. You develop mm-hmm. the habit after giving yourself cigarettes and then getting a nicotine addiction. And so is ADD and ADHD any different? I mean, we're feeding it. It probably has a lot to do with the foods the kids have and different things they've been exposed to. I'm sure a level of certain mm-hmm. brains are more sensitive to it. Just like, you know, certain people are more sensitive to becoming an alcoholic than others because of the way maybe their synapses mm-hmm. connect in their brain. But I never really thought about that as far as like, yes, you are an ADHD prone brain. So therefore, if I feed mm-hmm. you things like the quick dopamine hits of the video games and the many different screens or the social media, that's going to make you an anxious person when you don't have it. You'll always be looking for your phone again. And like how many of us have developed that just from the having phones and social media? That's bizarre.
Yeah. And so I would say like ADHD is definitely, you are born with it, and your brain, you can take a brain scan of somebody with ADHD and you can see the difference in their brain, but it's the nature versus nurture. They're going to start at that level, but that doesn't mean that it's impossible for them to learn how to regulate that in the future. Mm-hmm. But for people who aren't born with an ADHD brain, definitely our brains are malleable, and we know that, which is why somebody with ADHD, you can help them learn. And part of a studying thing is doing a body check. Like, what do I need? Am I hungry? Am I tired? You can write down like, this is how I'm feeling about something right now. And is there anything stressing you out? And then you kind of write it down, set it aside, and it helps release something in your brain. So now you can focus on the task at hand. But if you're not starting with that initial struggle and studying comes naturally to you, you can get that all taken away by social media for sure, by always scrolling, because your brain, it is malleable. And the thing is your brain can't decipher the difference between a screen and what's in reality. So which I still don't fully understand, but it's like, if that's the case, it is important what you're putting into your mind on social media, or how you're like, how many of us wake up and grab our phone right away mm-hmm. and see what's happening mm-hmm. and how much more at peace would we be at the day if we woke up and just didn't get on our phone till later. and had our mind on our families.
Right. Well, they put the alarm right on the phone. It's like they do that on purpose to make you pick up your phone. And then, oh, well, it's in my hand now. So now a way to wake my mind up is to, you know, so I don't go back to sleep. Well, let's scroll. Let's see what we missed. Let's see what happened overnight. I mean, that alone there is like genius. That's brilliance. If you want to control the minds of the masses, put what we have to wake them up right on the device. Wow. Yeah. I never thought about that either. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something I think about. So I try to pay attention to, am I emotionally like facing my kids and my family that day, or am I emotionally like turned away and trying to get some me time, like all day, you know, like it turns into almost like that feeling of like you're running away from your family, even though you're all in the same home. So, and a lot of it I'm realizing is if I start my day off not on social media at all and just leave my phone alone, I feel like, oh, I want to know what's going on with my kids today, as opposed to like stop impeding on me, on my mental space. Give me a minute, you know, like it gives me an entirely different outlook for the day.
Yeah. And I'm sure that will directly correlate with how my son acts when I'm trying to do his homeschool curriculum with him. If he's like, that's when I give him my undivided attention. But maybe he's like, well, I don't want it on your terms. If you have your phone, you know, at the other times of the day, you know, I'm not a dog. I'm not just going to be like, okay, I'm going to sit and behave now because you put your phone away. So maybe I have to really be conscious of that. That makes a lot of sense. One last thing, because we're on the hour now, but you mentioned before, and that also got me thinking, which your conversation today really sparked a lot of things I hadn't thought about before. So I want to thank you for that. But you said something about, are you tired right now? Are you hungry right now? And, you know, what does your body need? You have to listen to your body. And it's so interesting when you think about how the school system, and even career-wise, a lot of careers are set up to never care about what your body needs right now. And it's not going to be like, I'm thinking of my daughter, like she's, you know, 11 months old. She does not take a nap at the same time every day. It's kind of, you know, I'm home. So it's when she's tired, when I see she's tired, that's when she goes to sleep, right? I mean, our bodies are going through different things all the time, whether it's getting over a cold, you're fighting germs, or you didn't sleep as well last night. You know, so your body does need different things. And the school system, the school day does not account for that. With our children, they cannot just go nap when we're tired. We tell them you fight through it and you finish your day of school and then all your activities, you know, I mean, and then, oh, if they're hungry, well, you wait until lunchtime. I have a lot of energy right now. I need to get out. Well, you wait till recess. And just that simple little thing that is gotta be detrimental.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want your kids to be self-aware and then also have the ability to think for themselves, right? I mean, all it's saying is you don't matter and just get it done, right? And so then one of the challenges with homeschooling is the balance between giving them what they need when they need it, and then also they run your life and you have no idea who you are anymore and what is... We're seeing the effects of giving kids whatever they want. The real question is always keeping the end in mind. Like you always with homeschooling, it's always about keep the end in mind. So is this feeding a narcissistic mentality that I'm the most important thing in the world? Or is this a genuine need? A nap is a genuine need. Like take a nap, or a snack is a genuine need. So, and like one of my kids, if he is just having meltdowns, I know I either need to feed him or he needs a rest. Like that's just how he's built. And he's like 180, totally different person after he gets his snack. So it's just like, it feels like so much of a weight on your shoulders when you're like, well, I'm the only one doing it now. But the reality is you were the only one doing it. And from the beginning, you were the only one caring about what they need in those moments. And keep the end in mind. And also give yourself some grace. Like, it's a journey. Mm-hmm. This is our third time homeschooling, and 3/4 of the way through, I'm going to be exhausted and wish that it's over. But it's just like taking a self check. Like, I can only do so much today or whatever, and allowing that to happen, which is probably why it's so hard for us as moms, adults, to say, what do I need right now? And not feel like you're sacrificing the entire family. Yeah. Yeah. Which there's again, keep the end in mind. Is this feeding my family in the end? Or am I genuinely being selfish and saying, I'm going to go out and live my own life now? You know, it's like, just keep that question in your mind. And one thing that I heard that was gold years ago was write a family mission statement and just have a unified goal and say, we have anything that you do, anything you choose to do as a family, say, does this fit in our mission statement? Or is this just something I feel pressured into doing? Or is this just a fleeting thought that this kid wants to do right now? And then it unifies your family. So when you do tell them, you know what, I just don't feel like that really fits. And what do you think? Then they can be like, yeah, I guess you're right. Like, maybe we don't need to do that. And it's a family decision instead of, well, mom and dad said no, and now you can be upset with me. But yeah, that's one thing that it's like, okay, it just simplifies it. And nobody says you have to do anything. It's always your choice. So just keeping that check of like, oh, am I pressured right now? Or is this genuinely something we want that goes towards our goals?
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's awesome. That should be something everybody can work together on in the coming weeks and go through their days. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And it really makes you think, our family unit is important. It means something. It's not just a thing.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Alicia, thank you so much for coming on today. You really got me thinking sparked all sorts. And I'm sure I go back and edit this, I'm going to think of other stuff and conversations like this. I mean, that is truly part of what life's about too, you know, having those thought-provoking conversations. So thank you so much.
Of course. Yeah.
Have a great day.
Will do. Will do. Thank you so much. And just quick plug for my husband. He's starting his Father's Important Fathers podcast. So just interviewing dads, people, so experiences with dads, and just how important it is in our families today. So just check him out. His name's Jesse Mata. So he'll have
Jesse Mata.
Yeah.
All right. I'll put a link to that. Did he start it already?
He's going to launch it. So once he does, I'll send you the link. But
oh, that's awesome. I mean, so is he interviewing dads or interviewing people about their dads?
Both. Just dad centered. Here's a couple, one person, that he has lined up that didn't have a dad, and just kind of talking about the impacts of that in his life. And also my oldest son, he does a podcast too of, interviewing teenagers. So his is released.
Oh, how cool.
Josh Mata. Yeah. Yeah. So he's just, conversational, like life topics through a biblical perspective. So he's been doing it for a while. Yeah.
Well, if you can send me links to both of them, I will put them in the show description. Because by the time we record to releasing this, it'll be your husband's podcast might be out as well.
Yeah.
And then I have quite an interesting father. My dad just passed in January, but he had a very interesting life. I've been writing the memoir, or I guess, I don't know if it's going to be more about him or my memoir, but yeah, super interesting. I've talked a little bit about it with his mental illness and it's interesting, but I'd go on and talk about that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And my father passed 5 years ago, and he was disabled my whole life. So it's, that'll probably be one of the interviews too, but yeah, I'll let him know. He'd love that.
All right, cool. Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again. Well, and I'll be in touch.
All right. Okay. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of The Homeschool How-To. If you've enjoyed what you heard and you'd like to contribute to the show, please consider leaving a small tip using the link in my show's description. Or, if you'd rather, please use the link in the description to share this podcast with a friend or on your favorite homeschool group Facebook page. Any effort to help us keep the podcast going is greatly appreciated. Thank you for tuning in and for your love of the next generation.